Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Matt Storrs, and welcome to Matt's Splaining. On today's episode, I have somebody on who's going to talk about one of my favorite forms of music. Expert, please introduce yourself and let us know what you're an expert in.
Hey, so my name is Danny Doyle, and I am an expert in jazz. Expert, quote unquote. I mean, I teach jazz at the community college. I play trumpet. I've been playing jazz since I was approximately 12 years old and just know a lot about it. I also play in a couple of bands in town. One band I play in is the Bad Cactus Brass Band, but yeah.
Fantastic. I've always been a big fan of jazz. I would listen to jazz as a child living in Arizona in Phoenix. And I would KJZZ, the cool jazz stations, all of these different things, and have the Blaze Lantana, big proponent of Blaze Lantana as a child. And my understanding of jazz is that one of the most important things that people will say about jazz is it's the common refrain, it's about the notes you don't play, the choices that you make while you're playing it, and like trying to read and balance off of people. So it's kind of like musical improv in a lot of ways. But there's actually, a lot of people don't know this, there's a reciprocal of jazz called zaj. I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation, but it's basically jazz spelled backwards, and it's about all the notes it's about all the notes you do play. And that's what traditional music is about, where it's very planned out, where it's very methodical, where so it's two sides of the same coin, but people, they are very hesitant to talk about zaj, because zaj is so, it's jazz with constraints, it's jazz with control, and people are like, oh, I don't know if we can open the door to that, because the music could be, you're just ushering in unknown quantities of talent. Another important thing, especially if you're going to be on the radio, if you're going to do an interview, if you're going to be the one talking to the audience, is you got to have that smooth jazz voice. You got to drop down, be smooth, and be. But it's also that enunciation is very important, and it varies depending upon the size of the band when they do the announcements, because you want to do the announcements of who all is in the band, what they're playing and everything like that. For people that don't know, some people, there could be an oboe on stage, there could be a bassoon, and people are like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm seeing a jazz bassoonist. But they're like, I don't know what I can do here if I don't. Is that a bassoon? Could that be an oboe? I'm not really sure. And so like, that's just for clarification purposes. And you want to do it between like halfway to three fourths of the way through the set. If you're playing live, you don't want to do it up front. You want to get people kind of like on board, use it as an opportunity to rest and like have a little show off period. And another thing you want to be considerate of is welcoming new instruments. There has been a big prevalence of the oboe, the bassoon, coming into jazz performances in the last couple of years. And I think that that's really good, spoken as somebody who wanted to play the bassoon, but I had a weak upper body when I was a kid.
I mean, you're actually not wrong on the bassoon thing. That's funny.
Oh, fantastic. I am excited to hear about that. And but even with that, you get the tambourine, you get jazz tambourine, you got jazz cowbell, you got jazz moonshine jug. That's a big one that a lot of people don't consider, like, oh, that would never be in jazz. That's something that's more like bluegrass. But some of these avant-garde jazz performers, they're bringing in everything they can. They got the washboard, they got the jugs, they got the spoons. I've seen some jazz performers do some amazing thing with spoons. And, you know, that is one of the maracas, even. You can bring anything into jazz if you're willing. It's not just guitars and trumpets and saxophones. So that's another thing a lot of people don't know. Jazz can't be jazz unless there's something brass on stage. In the band, you have to have brass. Part of jazz requires there to be some brass. It's actually in the union documents and the writers of all of the performances that they have to have some brass representation.
God, I wish you were right about that.
Okay. So with that, about how much of that would you say was accurate?
Surprisingly, a lot, actually. Oh. I think you didn't really capture the essence of jazz, though.
Okay.
I think you're talking around it, and like, but yeah, I would give it two Miles Davis rests out of 10.
Okay. Okay. That's one of the most creative ratings I've received so far. So what is the essence of jazz in your opinion?
Well, I think that you started off with jazz is a lot of stuff that you don't play.
Right.
You know? And that's so very true. A lot of these jazz musicians and jazz is about the improvisation between instruments. You talked about that, which was great. Mm-hmm. And then you talked about the bassoon, and that's a really funny thing that's been happening in more modern jazz is you're having more bassoon and bass clarinet and those kind of instruments pop into the jazz scenes and violins. Mm-hmm. So you're not too far off about that. But I think in terms of what jazz is a musical language.
Okay.
And it's the way two musicians converse with each other. And jazz started off, had a pretty rough start, just came from people being oppressed. And jazz started off kind of like a lot of like underground hip hop today, like in the underground. You couldn't just go to a restaurant and hear it. You said a secret code word to get into where the jazz clubs were. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, all in all, as a player, as a musician, as someone who plays jazz is really about freedom and expression and understanding. You talked about what you call it, Zaj. Yeah. So jazz, it's interesting because Zaj is about you putting yourself in a box, right? And so jazz is actually, you do put yourself in a box for a lot of this. And people don't understand that when people improvise and play jazz, they're actually are constrained by chords. They're constrained by the rhythm. They're constrained by the style of music they're playing. And so the freedom of expression comes from playing within that box, but finding the freedom within that, if that mm-hmm. makes any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, there's so many great jazz artists out there. Some people, when they think of jazz, they might think of Ornette Coleman, which is free jazz. And that's like, there's no rules and there's no box and you're just kind of mm-hmm. playing. And then you have jazz. It's like the old big band jazz. You have Glenn Miller Orchestra, Benny Goodman, Count Basie. And those are like, you're only playing what's on the page. It's a composed piece of music. Mm-hmm. So there's such a variety of jazz too. Oh man, there's so much we could talk about.
Yeah. What got you interested in jazz when you first started playing?
I think what got me into jazz was the fact that I was sitting in an assembly when I was in fifth grade. I just picked up the trumpet and I saw our school's jazz band play. Mm-hmm. And it just looked so dang fun. Everyone was smiling and having a good time. And that's, to me, that's like what jazz was at that time. It's just fun. And so I started listening to Chuck Mangione. Chuck Mangione, who that is. Mm-hmm. He wears a funny hat like a lot of jazz musicians and plays smooth music and has that smooth kind of sound.
Absolutely. That's one thing I did neglect to mention, the importance, like any art form, of the hats within within the performance and just with the expression, much like poetry. If folks have heard me talk about that before, the jazz also has that need and necessity to have that expression through hats and fashion.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's more about not being restricted on what you can express. So you go to work and go, that's like my thing. People are like, nice glasses. And I tell them, oh, they're my musician jazz glasses.
Right.
And somehow that makes sense to people. Mm-hmm. I have a question for you because I think anyone with any style preference of music can find jazz that they like. There's all kinds and forms of jazz. What kind of music do you listen to?
So I listen to a lot of different types of music. Most recently, I'm just pulling up my music list right now. I've been listening to a lot of Technotronic, De La Soul. You have The Clash on there. I have Ted Hawkins. There's David Bowie. There's Rick Moranis. Nice. There's a lot of musical stuff. I have Tex Williams. I have Grandmaster Flash. I have Tennessee Ernie Ford. I have The Velvet Underground. I have a very eclectic taste, is I think what I'm telling you.
Yes, yeah, that's what I'm getting.
Yeah. I guess a good way of putting it would be that I am now on the music trend of where a bunch of MCs and rap artists from the early 80s into the 2000s sampled their music from, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. A lot of music samples jazz, too. Mm-hmm. And with your eclectic tastes, there is, I guarantee, some jazz out there, some artists that you've never heard of that you would like and you would enjoy. Have you ever listened to any acid jazz?
Oh, yeah, I have. I have a fair amount of acid jazz on my playlist. I'm a big Matt Berry fan. So that got me interested into acid jazz itself.
Beautiful. Yeah, there's like acid jazz. I always compare jazz to anime. Okay. And this is a weird comparison, but in anime, I tell people who've never watched it, doesn't matter what genre of movie or show you like, there's an anime out there for you. It's anime that, there's animes that are dark. There's animes like Attack on Titan, kind of dark and action oriented. There's Death Parade. And then there's like the childhood fantasy ones like Naruto and the gory ones like Demon Slayer. And same thing with jazz. Mm-hmm. There's, if you like rock music, there's like jazz that kind of like has that same rock feel. If you like rap, there's jazz and rap and hip hop that mix together.
Right.
So yeah, there's kind of like a jazz pseudo genre out there for everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense to me because I feel like it would be something that's really adaptable, if that makes sense. And
so
it's like, oh, you have that skill set and this can apply a bunch of different places.
Exactly. And like at the heart of jazz is improvisation, and improvisation being creating melodies with a few rules in place. And you'll hear a lot of that in rock music, that saxophone player taking the solo over that rock tune. He's probably a jazz saxophone player, learned to play jazz and is now playing over a rock tune. Mm-hmm. Man, there's so many, but it's really important too. I also teach at a community college, so I teach jazz trumpet there. Mm-hmm. And it's really important, I think, for people to understand where jazz comes from, like the history a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so listening to, like everyone knows, or I'm not going to presume everyone knows, but a lot of people know the song In the Mood from Glenn Miller, mm-hmm. that whole kind of big band sound. That was kind of like the Justin Bieber of that day. That was the Miley Cyrus of the day. People went crazy for it and they danced to it. Mm-hmm. So just understanding that the music we have today did come from that. I mean, it came from black music.
Right.
It's very important. And it kind of permeates any kind of music you like today. And a lot of the musicians that play that music too, they're jazz musicians. They're very skilled and have studied jazz for a while.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and I think that the fundamental understanding and like respecting where things have developed and how they've grown over time, that you just broadens your mind, I think, in a lot of ways. It's just like where your talent can go.
Totally. Yeah. You talked about jazz is about having that deeper sultry voice. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because that's like, you'll hear the like radio DJs using that kind of voice. There was a gentleman that used to live here in Phoenix that was part of K-Jazz, and he had a really, really low voice. He'd always introduce the songs like, "This is Miles Davis playing Kind of Blue." Mm-hmm. he had that voice thing going. And for some reason, people associate that with jazz. And mm-hmm. I honestly don't know where that comes from. There's, I guess, I don't know. It's like not even a smooth jazz thing. And it's this weird stereotype that sticks around. And it's, I mean, obviously you pointed it out, so.
Right. I mean, that's a common thing. And I have some theories why that might be the case, but mostly I think it comes down to, at least from my perspective, is an enunciation thing, because it's like, oh, you go a little deeper and you can be slow and precise, but it still seems engaging and interesting. I don't know. I'm going to make a note and I'm going to talk to a vocal coach and see if they know anything about that.
That's a good idea. I'd be very curious. Follow up me on that, because I'm curious about that too. But yeah, I don't know. Jazz is not, it's less. Yes, it's a style of music, it's a genre, but it's also like just a way of, it's cliche, like a way of living. It's a way of life. It's not. It's like it's a vibe that you give the music. It's the vibe you have as a musician. It's the creativity behind it. Yeah,
absolutely.
There's a lot more to talk about in terms of theory and stuff, but that would be way too much.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have limited time. Danny, this has been very interesting. If people want to learn more about you or learn more about jazz, what would you recommend?
Well, first I would recommend listening some albums, some jazz albums, listening to Miles Davis, Louis Armstrong, John Coltrane, Charlie Parker, Count Basie, Duke Ellington, and listening to some modern jazz. I play here in a couple bands in town, so go out and hear some live music. That's a really great way to support jazz and to really understand that jazz is more about the experience and less about just sitting in a study filled with books and a cigar and listening to it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that I have seen a number of jazz shows myself, and even though I'm kind of always have somewhat of an apprehension about dancing or like anything like that, it's just a fun environment every single time I've ever been there. So I would highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's jazz shows are like clap, cheer, yell, like right. It's kind of like you get to enjoy yourself for sure.
Absolutely, Danny. Thank you very much for joining me today. I feel like I learned quite a bit. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too. And I learned quite a bit as well.
Excellent. Okay. Maybe you did. My name's Matt Storrs, and this has been Matt's Planning.